You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The new Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. See them in action at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, and we go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so we'll start with this before we get into your thoughts on OTAs, but the league announcing and the Cardinals confirming Darrell Washington, linebacker, suspended for an entire season, for this entire 2014 season, for substance abuse violation there. Team thought he was maybe going to get four games. Does this mean anything to you in terms of Josh Gordon? And what are your thoughts on that one, Nate?
No, I mean, I think it's case by case. I think that, you know, the Josh Gordon thing, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, NFLPA, his agent Drew Rosenhaus, the NFL, and they're going through the appeals process. Obviously, ESPN reported that he faces a potential season-long ban. Anything less than that would probably be a victory for Josh Gordon right now as he tries to get it reduced. But there's not a whole lot anyone can say about it. And, you know, I don't think there's any set timetable. I think we found out last year after the mandatory minicamp in June that he had been suspended for two games. And obviously he got that reduced last year from four. Doesn't mean he'll get it reduced again this year, but I wouldn't rule that out either. I think it's up in the air. And not saying that we'll find out after that June mini camp like we did last year. We could find out sooner. Again, I don't think there's any definitive set timetable, but I wouldn't expect to find out much later than that. I think, you know, the league would probably, I think at least the Browns would hope to have some resolution.
Give us some resolution. Absolutely. Right. And Nate, we also don't want to be remiss. We want to congratulate you on the birth of your daughter right before the NFL draft. And I think it's the first time we got to talk to you on the radio since then. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks a lot. It was interesting timing to say the least.
I bet.
You know, it's so funny. My older daughter was born right before a draft as well. And I never, you know, forget that. All the guys who sent, you know, the first round draft pick cards and all this other stuff that I received when I was covering the Buffalo Bills. So we're living kind of parallel lives, 100 years apart maybe, but we're living parallel lives. Hey, Nate, let's talk about what you saw last week and then this week in practice in terms of mostly what we saw from Johnny Manziel's evolution, I guess is the best way, because he started out going through the same, you would expect, those problems that rookies suffer all the time with not really knowing what they're seeing and the comfort level or discomfort that goes with that. But you could clearly mark kind of an improvement as the practice went along. And I think by the end of the session last week, the consensus was that he was moving ahead of Tyler Thigpen. And of course, now we saw that happen on the depth chart yesterday. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the media got to watch practice the past two Wednesdays. And I think from one Wednesday to the next, I think you saw him look more comfortable. Like you said, just getting used to, you know, calling the play, going through his, you know, pre-snap stuff and then, you know, operating. I think that, you know, Mike Pettine, you know, he kind of nailed it. You know, Mike Pettine's a very direct guy. And he said, you know, like a lot of rookies, he's just inconsistent right now. And he's got all this stuff going on that he has to go through. You know, he's got to know the formation, the call, all this stuff. And a lot of stuff before the ball is snapped is kind of almost like weighing him down right now. So I think, and there's no way that it's perfect at this point, but I think he's growing more comfortable with that. And then you see him, you know, just be able to practice with more efficiency because of it. And I think that, you know, this past Wednesday, I thought he had a pretty good practice. He forced some throws into traffic. I remember one specifically, Dante Whitner, I think he was the one who broke it up, and Mingo almost picked it. But then, like, right after that, He had a really nice throw, showed great touch on a corner out to Gordon. It went for about 30 yards.
Yeah, beautiful high archer.
Exactly. So you do see him coming along, I think, and I think that's all about comfort.
Nate, who else has stood out to you in the OTAs over the 2 weeks, somebody that's jumped out at you offensively or defensively as someone you were impressed with?
Well, in terms of the rookies, at least, I think that the one that's really stood out in my mind, at least, is Joel Bitonio, and that's primarily because he's been the only one working with the ones consistently, and he's been there at left guard. And he just looks the part. He moves well. You can see why they drafted him with a 35th overall pick in the second round, because they think that he fits in really well with that zone blocking scheme. And you can see that, you know, he has the athletic ability to move to get a quick initial step, and then to go down the line laterally. So I think that he really is a guy who's going to make an impact right away. And there's no doubt in my mind that Justin Gilbert, the cornerback, will too. But he hasn't been with the ones consistently. We haven't seen him in that spot yet, and we've seen Bitonio there. So he's really kind of caught my eye because he's been able to go against some of the other guys on the 1D line and work next to Joe Thomas and Alex Mack.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal covers the Browns, joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Nate, as we talk about working against that defensive front, I mean, some people there who really have jumped out, and not that we don't know about them, but we certainly know that they're now working in a new defense. Guys like Billy Wynn.
Friend of the show.
Who just seems to be much more, I don't know what it is, but this scheme seems to be bringing out, and there's a greater assertiveness on his part. You see a quicker guy than I think even we saw last year, and he's always been, I think, pretty quick, but it seems exceptionally so, and yet even more powerful in how he's been able to handle people across from him. What have been your impressions there, and then taking it a step further to some other people in that front seven, Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo, they both seem to be making themselves noticed as well.
Well, I think Billy Wynn's bigger. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I think he's gained weight. I don't think it's a bad thing. Jim O'Neill, the other coordinator, was asked about it, and he said that he doesn't have really a point of reference for how big he was before, but that he really likes what he's seen out of him, and he really likes the way he's able to explode out of his stance on the line of scrimmage, and thinks he'll be good as an end and a three technique for them. So I think that, they really like Billy Wynn, the new coaching staff. And I am interested to see, because I don't know what you guys think, but I do think he gained weight.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I don't think, I think Jim O'Neill, I'm not saying that in a way to say like he's out of shape or anything.
No, he looks larger, but right. Stronger.
Strong,
yeah. Yes, strong,
I think
large.
Jim O'Neill likes what he sees from him, even though his body's changed, But I think it's something that Jim O'Neill views in a good light. Yeah. Mingo, it's interesting because here's my thing with Barkevious Mingo. I think he is, if you just want to watch an amazing pure athlete, and I mean watching Mingo run around, do drills, go through things like that at this time of the year, I mean it really is kind of like artwork. I mean he's an amazing athlete. I mean, I think he could be, if he wanted to train and focus on a different sport in life, I think he could be like an Olympian. I really do. I think he could be an Olympic track type guy. He's just a phenomenal athlete, and so he's going to look good when he goes through this stuff. And Jim O'Neill said that from what he's seen in individual work and what he's seen in these position drills out on the field in a short amount of time with Mingo, he thinks he's going to be a dynamic pass rusher in this scheme, but he's got to prove it on Sunday. And then I couldn't say any better, because I think Mingo looks great this time of year because of all the things I said about his natural abilities. But is he going to make that leap on Sundays, or is he going to get, you know, stood up, and is he going to get stonewalled by offensive tackles on Sunday? So that is what I'm looking forward to seeing with him as the summer progresses and the pads go on.
Yeah, that's the key for Barkevious Mingo. The speed certainly is there. Talking with Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Nate, with Mingo, Sheard, Kruger, the pass rush certainly is looking good in those practices. But the other rush attack, that is the rush ground game of the offense, looking good. Your thoughts on the early going Terrence West and Ben Tate?
I think both of them have looked good. You can't, again, it's another thing, just kind of like with Mingo and other pass rushers, can't tell a whole lot right now. This time of year, you know, but I'm really looking forward to seeing both those guys in pads going against, you know, a defense that's going full go, because I think both of them, you know, when you think of guys who fit into the scheme, that's predicated on the zone blocking, I think that Ben Tate is an ideal fit, and it's, you know, very, very similar to what he did in Houston. And I think that, you know, the Browns are wise to target him for because of that fit. And I think Terrence West is another guy who can fit in very well, too. I'm very interested to see in that group if there's a place for Deion Lewis on this team. Because last year, he excited a lot of people in training camp. And, you know, then he obviously broke his leg in the preseason. And I think there was some talk and some thought that, hey, he could come in and have a prominent role. Well, when you change coaching staff, you change schemes, things, you know, happen. And they obviously signed Tate, drafted West. The biggest and most intriguing question I have at running back right now in my mind is what happens with Deion Lewis.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. And I would say that, and again, I'm not saying this because necessarily I don't think well of Lewis's skills and ability and wasn't impressed with what he showed last year, but it is a dramatic change in terms of this coaching philosophy, this offensive scheme, and I just don't see how he fits as well in this. Even though he's got some of those change-up elements, I think he becomes a little more of a luxury in this scheme, whereas had he been on this team and healthy last year with North Turner, Rob Chudzinski, he'd have been more, obviously, of a main guy in a group that had nobody.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, Vic. Is he the odd man out just because he doesn't fit into, you know, the type of running back and the type of scheme they're going to run, despite, you know, being a player who, you know, we all think could have a lot of upside, is it just not a fit? And I'm really interested to see how that all plays out with him. I kind of agree with you. It doesn't seem like it is a fit. It'll be interesting to see if he can overcome that or if, you know, the way we see it is actually how it's going to unfold.
And the other position that's interesting that has a lot of people that we aren't sure how they're going to separate themselves is wide receiver. Have any of the undrafted free agents or any of the veteran receivers who have been brought in stood out to you, Nate, as people who can contribute with right now? No, Josh Gordon, potential suspension looming, and, of course, Miles Austin and Nate Burleson on the sidelines.
Well, it's kind of hard because, you know, I want to see Nate Burleson and Miles Austin, but they're not practicing right now. They're out there watching. They're wearing ball caps watching on the side. Undrafted guys, you know, Kenny Shaw, Willie Snead, those are some guys that have kind of, you know, that I've watched and noticed, and I think there might be something there. You know, one of these guys is going to have, I think, a chance to make the team. You know, the Browns don't have, you know, Josh Cooper, Jordan Norwood, kind of under the radar guys who were on this team in recent years. And I think there's going to be someone who can kind of come in and fill that spot. And you know, I'm also, it's kind of wide receivers kind of funny too, because, you know, Josh Gordon looks great out there, but you do want to look at the other guys to see, hey, who's going to be able to step up and try to, you know, obviously can't replace Josh Gordon, but if he misses time, who's going to be, you know, a key guy in this, you know, wide receiver by committee thing? And I still think Travis Benjamin, improved last year as a receiver. Another guy we haven't got to see, though, because he's still recovering from that torn ACL and rehabbing. And Charles Johnson, I've never seen him. I mean, I've never seen him, and he has size, and you know, the Packers, you know, would have liked to keep him, but the Browns signed him off their practice squad. So another guy who we haven't seen because he's recovering from a torn ACL. But both those guys, especially Charles Johnson, just because he has size, and he's such an unknown to me.
Nate, we really appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time. And again, congrats to you and your wife on the birth of your daughter, and we will, I'm sure, talk soon.
Hey, guys. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Nate.
Nate Ulrich, Akron Beacon Journal. He joins us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Joel Bitonio. He is the second-round draft pick of the Browns, the offensive guard. Kind of see how he's feeling about rookie life here in Berea. That and more ahead. We want to hear from you, too. 216-578-0850. And you tweet us at Browns_daily. Want those barks and growls from the pound. So make sure you're part of the interactivity of the show. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR.